I can't wait to get to school each day and wait for you to pass my way. And bells start to ring and angel starts to sing. Hey, that's the girl for you.
Love is Mrs. Bright. I gotta see her. Travel all across the world just to meet her. To LA, maybe to the Bay, from the Chi-town, where she might be out to say.
Welcome to Black Culture The Breakdown. I am your boy Jersey. What's going on? Come on, it's a lot going down today. It's a lot to talk about. It's a lot to ask about what happened. Hey, it's a lot that's going on. But first, we got to get started by kind of getting everything popping, all right?
Yes.
Y'all know what time it is. I need y'all to do me a favor and get the link shared. See what we on right now. Right now, I see we got over 100 people in the building. What up? 100 people in the building already. Do me a favor, click like on this.
Yes.
Do me a favor and click share on this.
Yes.
Do me a favor and tell all your friends. I want to see 1,000 people in the building today. But before we actually get the show started, welcome to Black Culture Breakdown. I am your boy Jersey, and we're about to get this day lit. So Black Culture The Breakdown is an Instagram live show that is 10:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time right here on my Instagram live, all right? That's right. Boom. Make sure you follow me right there at The Only Jersey, all right? As a matter of fact, we got a show that's going down tomorrow. So let's take a look at what we got.
Boy, you should know that I've got you on my mind. Secret admirer, I've been watching you. At night, I think of you. I want to be your lady, maybe. Game is on, give me a call, boo. Your love is strong, gotta give my all to you. At night, I think of you.
That's right. Got a super doozer, yo. We got Miss Brielle in the building.
Yes.
And we also got, come on, R&B legend that made so many beats. He's a DJ and everything so much more. Grammy nominated, Mr. DJ Terry Hunter.
Yes.
Right, make sure y'all tune in. All right. Made beats for Melba Moore and a lot of other Grammy nominated artists. So make sure y'all tune in. Black Culture Breakdown. 10:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on my Instagram Live. Before we get started, we want to bring in actually our guest today. But before we do that, we actually got to hear a message from our sponsor, Mr. Allergy, all right, from Gospel Artist Entertainment. I see 100 people still in the building. What up?
Yes.
Make sure you actually share this live and letting everybody know what's up. Let's hear a message from our sponsors.
What's going on, everybody? It is your boy, Aldrin McCullough, with Gospel Artist Entertainment. Listen, you're asking what's happening. So let me tell you what's happening with Gospel Artist Entertainment. First of all, Gospel Artist Entertainment is a marketing media company that covers gospel, that covers all artists across the board, that's in every industry, and we give you entertainment, all right? Now let me tell you what's going on, all right? So the first thing is Gospel Artist Entertainment will be hosting the So You Think You Can Sing show that we have been doing for the past, what, maybe 4 years now. And listen, we're going to continue so you get to display your talent. Also, check this out. We're looking to become a TV network in the future. It may be this year or next year, but guess what? Y'all stay tuned for that. It's going to be epic. So I'm so excited about Gospel Artist Entertainment. Y'all don't want to check it out, all right? Now, y'all go back and y'all enjoy the rest of the show. All right, we out.
right? Yo, so that was our message from our sponsor. Let's get the ticker up so we can actually get Black SD on here. Boom, right here, y'all. Make sure y'all know what's up. That's Gospel Artist Entertainment and Black SD Magazine. Black Culture to Bring Back. It's sponsored by, clap it up. All right, so let's get Miss Lili Lyons on the line. She is a living legend. Come on, talk about member of R&B supergroup SWV, TV personality.
Yes.
She do all of that. Author and host, Miss Lili Lyons. Let's call her in. What's up?
What's up, Lili? What's up? How you doing?
Welcome to the show. You know what's up? Hey, we got so much to talk about.
Welcome. Oh my gosh. I'm looking so forward to this.
Yo, there's so much to just tap into. And I know that you've been a pioneer. Come on, you've been on Billboard 12 times, right? With your super group SWV. So let's talk about that. And been in the game for over 30 years. So you
kind of well, not over 30 yet now. Don't push it.
Oh, you're about to hit the 30. It's about to be 30.
It's about to be 30 next year.
Gotcha. Okay, my bad. Okay, my bad. That's enough.
No.
Jersey, calm down. All right. Not yet. But we have a lot to definitely dive into. Today is all about what happened, right? And it's a series to have a deeper conversation with individuals and organizations who have been successful in the entertainment industry, right? So they've reached a certain level of success, and then I think sometimes we always get confused on what happened. You understand? So there's different. So for this episode, we're definitely talking about major bands that we've actually watched kind of.
Oh my goodness.
Jump into the field.
Yes. I'm very excited about this. This is something totally different for me. Like, SWV being, achieving a certain level of success that we've had, we've always, for some reason, we always ended up touring with guy bands. So mm-hmm. I am looking forward to seeing, listening to these guys' journey. I'm really excited to hear what they have to say, And I'm thankful that you're giving them this platform to do so.
Absolutely, and we definitely thank you for coming on to be OG mama to keep this all in check and let us all know what's going on. All right, so now, let's kind of start off with who we got going on. So, Lili, we got recording artist, writer, and member of B5, Carnell, coming on. All right, let's see what's up. Boom.
Ooh.
Let's call him in. Let's see what's going on. What's up, Carnell?
Yo, what's good, bro?
How's everything, man?
Wow.
Everything is good. You look great, Lili. You look... Oh, yes, you're right.
You know what I'm saying? We're about to get into everything B5, man. We got Carnell in the building, y'all. Listen, Carnell's definitely in the building, and we got you representing B5 and just talking about your experience and just kind of where you at now with the music and everything that you got going on. So, we're going to definitely get you okay. back in a happy conversation, bro.
All right,
man. All right, so let's see who's got next. Lili.
You.
So you see we had Carnell on the line. Now we got recording artist, a member of GS Boys, Prince. All right, let's see what's up.
Oh.
Come on, let's see what's going on. What's up, Prince?
Hey, how's it been?
What's going on? Lili, say what up to Prince.
Hi, Prince. Uh-huh. How are you? You're looking like sexy chocolate.
You know, black is still in.
Black was never out, okay?
I know, right?
Black is definitely never out. Well, bro, we got so much to talk about, man. Representing the GS Boys in the building. We definitely gonna have a conversation with you soon. Alright?
For sure.
Alright, let's see what we got coming up next. So, Lili, let's see what's going on already. We got E5 in the building. We got Prince.
Prince.
In the building. So now,
who else we got?
Recording artist, actor, and former member of Mindless Behavior, Mr. Rayon's in the building. What's up, bro?
What's up? How y'all doing?
Hey.
Hey, how you doing?
How are you?
I'm gorgeous. How are you?
he looking all chill. He just chilling. Like,
I'm always chilling.
Okay. Well, listen. We definitely got a lot to talk about, Ray. We know you've been definitely through the ups and downs of everything, but what you got going on right now.
Please. Yeah, yeah.
Right, that's that right now.
That right now, right now.
We're going to definitely get into that in a second, but we're going to talk to you soon. All right, bro?
All right.
All right. So, come on next. So, Lily, before we actually get all the panel on here and have this conversation, let's just kind of give everybody some insight on why we're actually so popular and why we actually here right now. Let's have a look.
I'm gonna get a 10 pack, then a 12 pack, then 14, 16, then I'm gonna step at 18, 18 my favorite number.
Post on Instagram when I went and copped that rave. I just FaceTime a little cute thing from the UK. She an 8 plus 2, nigga, that's a 10. Body a Benz, body a man.
Welcome, fellas. Oh, the fans keep going crazy. The fans are already going crazy. Bonnie saying, hey, the fans are already going crazy, fellas. What's up? I've been waiting for this all. Saw it on Ray's Insta. Kendall Garner, what's up? Welcome everybody to Black Culture to break down what happened. We got all the fellas on here. We got Carnell in the building. Old boy Prince in the building. Leon in the building. We got a lot to definitely talk about with what happened. Now, fellas, can y'all all hear me good?
Yes. Yeah.
Lily, how we feeling?
Oh man, I'm just overwhelmed right now. I'm saying you got. First of all, let me just say you guys look so handsome.
Thank you.
You're beautiful.
So, you know, I'm trying to keep this thing together, man. I'm trying to keep up with y'all. I need some of y'all fans, you know. But this, you know, we're happy to have you here. We're happy you're a part of this What Happened series. But I have one question, and you guys can each individually answer this question. And this is actually one question that I absolutely hate when people ask, especially when you've been out for almost 30 years. So I'm going to ask a stupid question, and that question is, how did you guys get started? Where did that inspiration come to want to be a part of a boy band? Because that's not always the easiest thing to do, because everybody always start out solo, right? So how did everything just come together for you guys individually?
Well, I don't know who wants to start.
We'll start with Carnell.
Okay. Carnell. Basically, mine started all my brothers, like they're all my family. So it kind of was easy. You know how that all started. You know, we were in Florida and our mom just wanted us to just stay out the hood. So we kind of like just formed, you know, just dancing and, you know, just stay out, you know, that lifestyle. And, you know, it just got bigger and bigger, you know, out of just basically through time, you know. So it wasn't really like we were solo or anything like that. Just because we were all family. So it was just easy to just do, you know. So.
Oh, but how did you get discovered?
How did we get discovered? Well, we were signed when we were like 8, 9 years old. And when we were in Florida at the time. And then We got to Atlanta and just met with just people that were in the industry, mm-hmm. because they've just been hearing us about just, you know, locally at that time, you know, technology wasn't really there at that time. So it was just locally and, you know, just hearing the word of mouth and, you know, and we like basically did a lot of auditions, you know, with different like label executives and stuff like that. And then eventually we just picked out the one that was fitting us at that time. So that's how
y'all was just happened. Y'all was just cute and Yellow was out at the time, you know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, light skin was in. We all black at the end of the day. So
yes, absolutely. That's what makes us so bone. Special. We come in all different flavors.
That's the thing that's so special about just being, you know, black, because you know you get all colors. So
absolutely. Sure. Yes. Talk about that, Carmel. Black coming all shades down here. So, Lily, kind of actually talk to us. Does that sound like something similar to but even what you went through with SWV?
As far as what?
Just a part of how, you know, like he's talking about his discovery and just kind of like doing the audition, you know, like kind of like trying out and stuff.
Well, our situation was a little different because SWV, before our name was SWV, it was my vision to actually start a girl group. So I pulled Coco in. Coco knew somebody who knew Taj, and they pulled, that's how Taj came in. So it was just one of them things where I was just a young girl who was inspired by a singer that we all know and love, Shanice Wilson. Y'all know Shanice Wilson. Still a powerhouse vocalist to this day. At 12 years old, she was killing it. So it was one of them things where I was like, wow, you know, I want to do what she's doing. She's 12 years old. She on Star Search. She doing it. So I was really excited about that. And music was that thing that I knew was going to take me away from everything else I was going through at home. You know, being from the Bronx, New York, you see a lot of things. You get into a lot of things. And music was that escape for me. So what about you guys? Well, first of all, answer the question. Let's give Prince a chance to answer the question. How did you get started with your group?
I got started. Well, I kind of just put the whole thing together, being honest. Like, ooh. I was the guy that got every member, and we all just put the whole group together. And then after that, we just made that hit song, and it took off from there.
That's right.
You know, this is the crazy thing, because people always say, they always think everybody have this extravagant story, but I always tell people, all you need is one hit record. You could work the rest of your life with one hit record. It's amazing, but it's a blessing as well. So what about you, Pretty Chocolate? Let me tell you something, Ray, before we go any further. Everybody loved Molly's Behavior, okay?
Yeah.
But you always stood out to me because I was like, I need to cut this guy's hair off and make me a wig.
Yeah. That's so funny.
Ray, listen, I still want your hair.
Honestly, look, you can have it. It's crazy. I have a funny story. When I was 11, I don't know what I was thinking, so don't judge me, but when I was 11, I was at Target with my mom, and this woman, she came to me, and she asked, would I be the face for, basically, like, would I donate my hair and be the face for, you know, cancer kids? They wanted me to donate my hair to cancer. But I was 11, I was young, and I loved my hair. I've always loved my hair, and I never wanted to cut it. So this random woman is, like, talking to me in the store, like, yeah, like, we can cut your hair, we'll pay you for it, da-da-da, whatever. They want to do these big campaigns. And I remember crying, and she offered, true story, she offered my mom and I $1 million to cut my hair, and I said no. This is a true story, and my mom literally trying to convince me for a week to cut my hair, and I would not do it. I cried for a week.
You need your whole ASS whip. You never thought about the fact that it's just hair, it's gonna grow back.
I've always been so connected to my hair entire life.
Samson. It's like Samson.
Yeah, it's really like a Samson. Yeah. I feel like it's my power, it's like my strength. But it's crazy because now my hair is my brand, and with my hair, I've you know, made that plus more in the industry, you know, so everything works out for a reason.
Well, I'll say this. I know a lot of beauticians who would love to straighten that hair. You hear me?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful.
But my story of getting in the group, I was dancing in a local dance crew in L.A. known as Tommy the Clown. So we did parties and events. But also at the same time, I was taking other dance classes. Like, my strong suit wasn't even like music at the time. I just loved to dance. So at the same time, I was doing ballet, contemporary, jazz. Like, I was really into dance. And I got discovered just, you know, doing events and doing parties. And one day I got called to audition for the group. I was actually the last to join. And I auditioned. I still remember it was like August 18th, like midnight. Like, it was crazy. Like, a random audition at the studio. And they loved me right away. They're like, oh, we want you. We need you in the group. It was that type of thing. But I always kind of knew I wanted to be in the music industry. Because I start to, you know, write down raps when you're, you know, you're young, you're writing down lyrics and you're trying. But I was just inspired by, at the time, it was Music Choice, you know, watching dope artists like B5. Like, I remember watching the video. I can't remember the exact song. You guys are like plates and you guys are like sliding across the room and y'all on school bus. And I was just like, I was like, dog, like, I want that, you know, like. I have a talent. Not only do I want to show the world, but I also want that attention. You know, I'm tired of the girls in my middle school. They're old. Like, I want all the women in the world. You know, like, I was like, when I was young, that was my mindset. And, you know, so I'm glad things worked out. But yeah, that's how I joined the group.
Okay. So now let me ask you guys this. So now you guys are all a part of the group, and now you guys are here. Now you guys hit fame, right? Now you guys are a part of a group, and now you guys are famous now. How do you guys adjust with that with your group members? Like, how is that a process? Because usually when people hit fame, you know, as a solo act, they're usually solo, right? So now you're hitting fame as a unit. Does that make sense? So it's not even a solo entity. Break that down for me. Let's start with you, Prince, how that felt for you.
Can you repeat that one more time?
Just like how you felt when Fame hit in the group setting. Like when y'all went crazy with Stinky Leg and everybody started knowing who y'all were, how did that change for you?
Wait, one more time, bro. I'm listening.
can you tell us how, can you hear me now? Let's go into Carmelo. You ask that question, we'll jump back in a second.
Okay, so you want me to answer the same question?
Yeah. Just how, when you got into the group, how it was being famous as an ensemble as opposed to kind of being famous.
Okay. Basically, when it all hit, like, it was like this. It was kind of like surreal for me. So, like, I was really young. And, you know, like, so when I was going through those experiences, I saw it and I was like, wow, but I wasn't like really succumbed, like, you know, by fame. So it was more so like, this is what I've been doing all my life. And I was raised on doing this since I was a little kid. And so it was kind of like, you know, I had to adjust to it, but my adjustment was completely different. Like, I had to adjust to it by, like, okay, the long hours staying up, you know, the studio session, staying up for a long time, and, you know, just recording. But, like, when it came to, like, just the overall fans, I loved it completely, but I was just so, like, normalized. It was so normal for me that I wasn't really, like, really thinking about, you know, like, wow, this is, like, really big. Because at that time, like, I would say the internet was just now growing, so you couldn't really see your numbers. You know, you just knew that you was doing a lot of stuff. And then you do shows, you know, and it would just be like, oh, wow, like, this many people showed up. Then, you know, by nowadays, it's like, it's completely different. You can see, like, who was following you, who's your supporters and everything else. But at that time, it was just a whole different world, different cycle. But I appreciated every single step, you know, of the way of getting there. And, you know, it was just something that you could always remember, you know, so it never really changed me. It just made me realize more. It gave me more awareness. It never really just made me, like, change up even like that. So yeah.
So let me ask you a question, and this is for the three of you. When you're young, you have aspirations to want to be famous, and Ray said it, he just wanted all the girls. And what I've experienced that is, I know a lot of boy bands, that's their main concern. Like, they don't care about the business side of things. They just want girls, you know? So from that point until now, is there anything that you felt like, wow, you know, if I knew this was this way, I probably would have chosen another career? Or was it everything that that you panned it out to be? Or was it like a shocker, like, oh my God, I didn't know that this was gonna be this way? And we'll start with Prince.
Okay, well, I'm gonna say this much. To answer both questions, now I know what's going on.
Okay.
Thank you. When the group, you feel me? Boom. So we're gonna go like this. I was running track and I played football, so I was a little bit already used to the little attention, you feel me? So then we transitioned and going to the Arlington Skatering, that's in Arlington when we was already a group. So all we was missing was a hot song, because we was already used to going into the skatering, being around a whole crowd of people performing. We had R&B songs before Stanky Leg. And Stanky Leg was our first kind of like little rap song we put out. And when that came out, it blew up. So we was already used to it. So it went from maybe being around, who knows, maybe 100 girls at the skating rink to now we in arenas and we on stage with thousands of people in front of us. So we was already pretty much used to it. So the only thing I say that I'd change if I could, which, and really I wouldn't change anything, because I learned so much on the way. You wouldn't have been able to learn everything at that moment, because we was young, trying to figure out us and trying to figure out what we doing. So, you know, it's just all a growing process. So right now where I'm at, I'm still learning, but on the process though, I wouldn't change anything.
Wow. What about you, Ray?
You know, yeah.
Was it anything that you thought it was gonna be, or is it one of them things where you're like, damn, I wish I would have done something different?
Not at all. I think everything happens for a reason. Mm-hmm. And I truly genuinely appreciate my experience, because like Prince says, you learn so much, and you kind of go into this industry being so young and you're being naive, you know. You're almost like, in a sense, you're like, I love to use this word, it's like moving idol, you know. You're like, you're just showcasing the talent, but there's a whole business happening around you. And and so, no, I wouldn't change anything. I think all the lessons I needed to learn happened because of that experience, you know? And just kind of going into that, just besides the girls, like, the girls is, like, the fun part or whatever, but I think my main focus is to be successful more than famous. Because, like, I come from South Central L.A. Like, any L.A. film you've seen, that's where I come from. Boys in the Hood, I come from, like, that type of environment. So, like, I grew up in a neighborhood to where, like, I had to be in the house at 4 o'clock before the lights went out, because there was always drive-bys and I was losing close friends all the time and family, you know? So I think my main focus kind of going into it was to be successful. And even after all the trauma and just all the things that I've been through in the group, I still left with the same intentions to be successful. I think we all do, you know what I mean? Sure. No matter what your circumstances are.
That is true. So you got all the girls you wanted, right?
Yes.
but now
you're saying, what about you, Cornell? Was it everything that you needed it to be for you, the industry?
Like Ray was saying, I definitely was moving idol. And, you know, only thing I would say is that the right representation is very important. And, but you learn once you get at it, once you, like, you know, actually have the time to actually, like, breathe and everything else, and as you get older, like, you just realize certain things just hit different. Like, oh, wow, like, did all this. So this was what was going on. Once you actually really know, like, what's going on, you're like, dang, okay, so I get why this happened and that happened, because such and such wasn't taking care of this part. part right here, blah, 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 you know, X, Y, Z. And you're just like, dang. And you're just like, there's times where, you know, where I don't feel like this anymore. But, like, you know, during that time, you know, all the trauma and everything, I was just like, why is this happening? Like, what? Like, what was, like, what was the reason in this? You know, like, all this, you're telling me all this money and you don't see any of it. So it was just like, it was a lot, you know, of just trauma and just, you know, character building that I had, you know, that you had to, that I had to do. And as a person, you know, that you have to do. And just like, you know, meditate on things and just realize, you know, me, like, right here saying, I'm definitely like always thinking about, okay, what's the next, you know, next business move? What's the next come up? What's, you know, what can I do to, you know, create, implement that? Because my goal still to this day, and I'm gonna put out in the universe, is to become a multi-billionaire. And I said I will do it. And I know I'm gonna do it because I'm just putting that out there in the universe. So it's just all about, you know, just keeping your head up regardless of any situation you're in, you know, and all it does is just build character, just put, you know, make you just, you know, strive harder. So I would say music is a good outlet. I think everyone should be able to, you know, have access to music, and because it's a part of, you know, your just your natural being. You know, everyone is supposed to, you know, basically release their own frequency in the universe in some type of way, some type of form. Mm-hmm. So now
let me ask you guys this. You guys all talk about your experiences just kind of being in the group. Now, did you guys understand the business of it all? Ray, you mentioned just now that you had to understand there was moving components that were happening behind you. And Carmel, you had to mention too that you said certain people wasn't handling this when made this happen. Certain people wasn't handling that made that happen. Did you guys understand that your group was a part of a business that was even like kind of like bigger than what you kind of were doing in the group? Does that make sense? Like, did you understand there was a business behind it?
I think when I was much younger, at first, no. As the group continued to go on, I started to recognize things, learn things, and understand things.
What made you recognize it? What was it that be like, all right.
Oh, well, one, I have terrible OCD. So when I start to do calculations and I'm looking at numbers and things weren't lining up, I was like, okay, either someone is creating a glitch purposely or there's an accidental glitch. Like, either someone isn't on their job properly. So right away, my mind snapped into the business world, and I was like, I have to understand this. Things must make sense. It's kind of like, it's almost like how I move in life. Like, things have to make sense to me. But at first, no, I didn't understand it. And I think when you're so young and you're in a group, you're just excited. You're excited to showcase your talent, and you're in. And when you come from my situation, when you come from nothing, the spotlight is everything, you know what I mean? Until you know otherwise. And so you kind of jump in these situations, in these groups, and you're being puppeteered. You know what I mean? You're literally just being controlled, and they're giving you this discipline that you never had before. You know, they're installing in you the knowledge that they want to give you.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And because you know nothing else, you're taking the knowledge and you're just possessing yourself with it constantly. And I think I probably speak for everybody, until you notice something. I like to call it a glitch. When you notice a glitch, a ripple, then you jump on the other world and you go, okay, I'm a talent, but something has to be managing my talent. You know what I mean? Because there's a difference between management and manipulation. You get what I'm saying? Like, and you can have a manager. You can have a manager that is there for you, or you can just have one that's there for them.
Mm-hmm.
You get what I'm saying? Yeah. So,
yes, most of the time that's what it's kind of like, you know. So you gotta be careful. Like you said, that, you know, I think every last one of us came from nothing. You know, that's just the majority of the community, sadly. But say, like, I grew up with neither having parent around, well, not having parents. So I definitely know that, like, I've learned from, you know, just, I learned from this industry and I learned from just people. So I've always, like, you know, been a student of just learning from different things that I like about, you know, certain people, because I didn't have no parents. So I was learning from whatever person I saw that I didn't like. You know, there's something I didn't like about it. So I just learned, you know, you just got to learn and just, sometimes, you know, like, you just got to sit back and just listen to what people are saying. You know, that's the only way you can actually be a student and just progress when it comes to business, when it comes to anything. You know, so.
See, what I tell a lot of aspiring artists, I always say, like, they get so excited about just the stage part, the show part. But that's why they call it show business. But they put show in front of business when business should be in front of show. Because the business
the business show.
Okay.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, that is the truth. But I always say that even with management is a little tricky to me because I do believe that management sometimes is necessary to kind of filter some things.
Yes.
But I also believe that there are, this industry somehow builds, I don't want to say dummies, but it kind of trains you. And Ray, you
know, dummy is right. Well. Dummy is right.
They tell you what they want you to know, but as soon as you get smart, you become difficult.
All hell breaks loose.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, all hell. But when you start, because I always tell them, if you don't know what your manager knows, then you're not valuable. He's more valuable than you for sure.
No, yeah. Because, I'm sorry.
You go ahead.
No, yeah. Towards the end, before I left the group, I remember I started to take matters into my own hands. Like, I started asking for all my contracts, just everything I had. Like, it kind of bothered me that until, like, towards the end of that group, I realized, like, well, I don't have my own accountant's number. Like, you know, it was just, like, it was, like, a little thing. Mm-hmm. And so then we kind of moved from Vincent Herbert. And we went over to Sony, and I'm not going to name drop who was under at Sony. That was a bad situation, but we were at Sony and a situation happened and I got to experience it hands on. And before I left, I was the only one in the group that got out of my Sony contract. Like, I was the only one in the group that wasn't signed. I was like almost independent and no one understood. And management was just like, you're being difficult, you know, a pain in the, you know, I don't know if I can cuss, but you get it. And so, like, then my knowledge became a burden somehow. Me deciding to move for my own well-being became a glitch to them. And it was like, nah, like, I'm just no longer abiding by your rules. I'm no longer being taken advantage of. And they didn't like that.
So, Prince, how do you feel about that, man? How do you play into that? What's your thoughts?
Well, with me, like, I say this much, man. Coming straight into the game, like, I was already known business was the first thing. So if y'all ever look back at the first Thank You Leg video, I had the booking number at the beginning of the video. So people used to call that number for booking, and it used to be me they was talking to, but they never knew that. I used to make my voice deep, even though I was a kid, and I was like, what's up, man? You talking to John? And they be like, well, we trying to book the GS boys. We trying to, all right, man, well, you know, this much money. And I used to take care of everything during that time. All the way. Like, we didn't have a manager until we got signed.
Nah, that's actually dope. Let's actually talk about your Thank You Leg peak at number 49, bro, on the Billboard Hot 100. What's up with that?
Yeah.
Doing that on an independent, bro?
Yeah, man. So, we made the song like in February and we got signed in November. So we really didn't have no management until like November, really, when we was about to do the paperwork. That's when I knew it was for real. So during that whole little process, even though when we got management, I'm still trying to figure everything out. He knows, because I know what's coming in. I know how it's supposed to be done. I'm learning about the writers and everything. So if I know he got a bottle, even though we kids, where that bottle come from? That on our tab, like, what's going on? I'm for sure clocking in on everything. And I figured that if you know the business from that time until now, the business is what keeps you going. You feel me? It don't even matter if you're not even here no more. As long as you got your business right, it's forever. You know what I'm saying?
So bro, you was already tapped in because you already put the group together, bro. So you understood what business was before you even started even hitting out the tunes. I'm putting the group together. But you know, which is the same similarity that Lily got, because Lily, you put your group together. You know what I'm saying? So that means you understood what business was before you even was even stepping in that group. You understand? So it's actually, you know, different than actually being put into a group, whereas now you two guys, which is Carmelo and Raynon, you guys had to like kind of were placed in the group, if that makes sense. Whereas you other two were kind of like in charge, like, all right, let's kind of be able to put this group together. Now let me ask. Go ahead.
I want to ask Lily a question. It's kind of in the same world. So during the time when you're in the group, I grew up on you. My mom loves you, so I have to ask this.
I love her.
I will.
She has very good musical taste, Mom.
Yes. Yes. Everyone loved your music in here. I loved it.
Yeah, we all did. Yes. So when you were in your group, and when you start to, you know, notice things, and you just start to understand the business more, was it more difficult being a woman? Because though it sucks, though I think women are the most powerful beings there are, this industry is just dominated by men and their egos, and you know, and they believe they just know how things run. So was it more difficult for you being in an industry dominated by men?
Oh man, absolutely. I mean, we dealt with a whole different kind of problem, you know. Of course, coming up naturally when you're a girl or whatever, if I had a question I had to ask a guy or I needed answers, it's always, you know, I'll tell you this or I'll do this if you do this, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So because that didn't go down like that, it took me a little longer to get the answers that I really needed, you know?
Damn.
So absolutely, it's always an issue when it comes to women, and to have to get all of your answers from a guy. I was alone for a long time trying to figure out what my life was all about and who was in charge of my business. And it took me a long time to realize that I was actually a business. That people were actually eating off of me. Everybody's eating but you.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't until, you know, everything, the lights went off, everything just kind of came to a calm, and I sat down and realized, well, damn, I've been doing this for so long. I have nothing to show for it. Why? Everybody's excited about the legendary this. I don't give a damn about that.
Yeah.
It didn't match what was in my bank account, and I started to ask questions about that, because it seemed like, okay, why is everybody so excited about this so-called legend? I don't feel like a legend. I'm still a dreamer. There's still so many things that I want to do. So I educated myself.
Yeah.
I educated myself. I read a lot. I understood. I taught myself, as well as, you know, I had people that I would seek counsel from that was doing the backdoor stuff. Like, I was the artist, but a lot of that backdoor stuff, we don't see. We don't hear those conversations that managers are having with these promoters.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So if we got a calendar and all of a sudden this show is canceled 2 days before we packing our bags, I'm going to question that. Like, okay, well, what happened in 2 days?
Yeah.
So I expect the person that took that call to have an answer for me. Because if you don't have an answer for me, then I don't need you to be in charge of my business, because you damn near just as dumb as me.
Yeah.
So that's unacceptable. If I have a question, I need for the person who takes those calls to have an answer for me. If you don't have an answer for me, you got a problem.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think that's what's so cool right now with, like, Carnell was saying. There was a stage where social media wasn't present. You know what I mean? And now I think it's cool because you control your base. You know what I mean? You don't have to get in touch with someone to create content and get it out. You can literally create the content and give it to the world. The world's at your fingertips in the most cliche way. Mm-hmm. And so, like, needing managers and things now is, in a sense, kind of unnecessary. Like, I don't even think the proper term is management, but I feel like at this point, you just almost need someone that can just be a partner, like assistance, guidance.
A day-to-day.
Exactly. Yeah, and that's how I move. Like, you know, I don't want to like talk down on like no one's situation, but like, forget labels, forget all these crazy deals you got to run through. Like, you don't need them anymore. You like, you don't need them at all. Like, being, I dropped my first single as a solo artist the top of this year, and I've been doing it independent, you know, and I, and the team I got around me, I built myself. So like, damn near literally all the money that was taken, I've made it back just being smart and not relying on my money have to go through this person, this person, this person, and then I get my cut. Like, no, it's going to come to me, and then I'm going to give you your percentage based on the work you've done on this particular situation or project. You know what I mean? Like, we live in a world now where the talent can manage. You can manage yourself. You know what I mean? You can, like I said, the world's at your fingertips. Literally, like, that's all I can say. Like, the world is right in front of you. So give the world what you've been wanting to give them. Whether it's vocals, whether it's dancing, whether it's rapping, whatever, just give it to them. And they're watching. They're always watching. And we come from a time where we have loyal fan bases. Right now, people get fan bases based on what they call it, clout, based on clout. Mm-hmm. You hear today, you go tomorrow. But we came from a time, which I appreciate everyone in this call, because we come from a time where our fan bases are loyal. We have real diehard fans that'll never go anywhere. That's going to support anything we do, which is beautiful. So now we just got to give them the material. You know what I mean? and we can do that because we don't got to go through a label anymore. You just pick up your phone and open the app, and they're right there. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful thing. It's crazy.
But really, let's have a conversation, though, about all this that maybe not understanding business, right? So sometimes that's two different roles. So even though an artist needs to understand business, sometimes an artist just wants to be an artist and they need a manager in place, correct? Wait, Lily.
You. She said she was.
All right, we're going to get Lily back on the line.
So about that, and Carnell, I'm going to let you come in on this too, because I'm pretty sure you got a lot to say. What we were just saying, you like, your manager should be a partner.
Exactly.
Y'all should be figuring this out together. You don't got to be the smartest in the game. You just got to know how to survive and do it right. You get what I'm saying? Yeah.
No, I definitely understand. But I think that's where the disconnect probably happens sometimes. I think the artists probably sometimes be like, I don't even want to deal with this business stuff. I want to go on the stage and sing. But then when they feel like their business is messed up, then they be like, yo, what's going on with paperwork? Like, you understand?
Yeah.
As an artist, you need to know it all. You don't need to be in here just focusing on the best performance.
Focus on,
you got to make sure you got the best, like, your best team that you feel that is right for you. And, you know, XYZ is definitely, like, you know, being done to where you don't have to be looking over your shoulder, you know. But I would say that you should always look over your shoulder regardless, because you can't 100% know somebody and their true intentions. You know, they can give you, you know, the nicest, you know, best shit for like, you know, at least 2-3 years. And you'd be like, damn, this dude was low key stealing a little money from me. Even a penny will add up, you know, throughout time. Nickels, you know, dimes will add up, you know, like, so it's just like, you got to just see how that person, like, how people move, you know? And then it just shows you, like, what type of, you know, character they have, you know, so.
Absolutely. Prince, let's talk to you about that, man. What's your experience with this? I mean, you've been in the game for a minute now. Jess Boy's been out, you know, over 10 years now. So, you know, I've been in the game for a minute. How's your experience, like, you know, listening to these fellas talk about their experience with Randy Burnett? Now, really, too, what is your experience like? Are you can relate to it or different?
I say the thing with, like, on the topic of the management part is, like, you got to think how many artists right now is just picking up their phones right now, rapping and just putting their stuff on United Masters, not knowing the actual business side. So normally the thing is like, with so many people right now just recording music on their phone, not knowing about the studio sessions and the late nights and mixing and mastering and all that type of stuff. It do take for somebody to come in and put them under their wing. And, you know, it's like, put it like this, you got to give people a chance to see if they're going to really do the things they say they're going to do. It's pretty much a relationship. So you could say partnership, you could say management, but at the end of the day, it's pretty much a relationship. And off that relationship, you got to give them a percentage for the work that they supposedly going to do. And if they don't do that job, you know what happens? You cut them, and then you go back in, and you end up finding somebody else. Because at the end of the day, no matter what level you get on, right, it could be right now, you any of us could get a hit. You got to put people in position that's going to get a percentage to do whatever job that is, whether it's merchandise, whether it's booking our shows, whether it's handling whatever business it is, even if you're not going out to get a manager, if you just giving your sister or cousin that position, they still playing that role of a manager. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So all of it still lines up, man. But at the end of the day, I have to say this much, like, I'm on that same role that Ryan was saying. Like, I have a manager, and I really say the same thing. Like, we got a partnership. Because we really talk day to day about my future business, and he talks about his business, and I got artists under me as well, and I got people that work with me hand in hand. So it's like everybody got a job, and I make sure that everybody do their job. Like, we clock in, that I see the emails, they see the emails. I'm able to let them know what they need to know. The BMI, if, like, anything and everything is an open discussion. When the problem comes in, that is when it's not an open discussion. If I can't hear what you hear, then it's a problem. If I can't see what you see, then it's a problem. That's when the problem kicks in.
Exactly. I think a manager should be like a mentor as well. I think that, you know, a management, you know, it just manages your life. So I think that if you have the right manager, should be able to, like, hey, bro, put some money right here into this thing. This thing going, you know, grow. So just so, like, you can actually have, like, stuff that you can actually invest and put money into at the same time as y'all getting this music stuff, you know, because that's the thing. Like, the thing is, music is so, like, music is fickle, you know? So the thing is, you got to have, like, XYZ amount of money to even get 2 million streams. Like, you can go and get 2 million streams right now if you pay XYZ amount of dollars on a streaming service. Anybody can do that. Everyone does it now, you know? So, like, even a management also should have something to offer as well for that, you know? And also, you know, learning and helping you find ways to, you know, teach you about the game at the same time, you know? That's, like... Yeah. That's what's really important when it comes to managers. A manager shouldn't just do everything for you. It should show you as well, you know, because it's showing you, you know, what you need to be doing.
So now, like, there's so much to even really tap into.
Prince is mute. He's trying to say.
Oh, Prince is mute. Yeah.
Hold on. Next thing that a lot of artists and people mess up at, and I think that's what my part when we first did a deal was, like, you got to know who you're putting in that position, and they got to know their job. You feel me? You can't get somebody that plays soccer to come be a leading quarterback on a football team if you don't know nothing about it. You know what I'm saying? I think that that's where a lot of us mess up at. We just grab certain people that we don't have a real relationship with, and we just throw them in that position, and they just do whatever, and we don't, you know what I'm saying? We're not able to know what they're doing because we never built that relationship. It's all off relationships, I feel, nowadays.
Yeah, it is.
No, yeah.
We got to know, man, you feel me? We got to know exactly the things that they've done and they accomplished. Because if they haven't accomplished anything, they should be there. That's the world I'm in right now. If they haven't said that they could do the things they say they could do, then we don't even need to talk. Because everybody on this line right now is past that level. You feel me? We ain't rookies no more. So we don't need no rookie manager.
Yeah, you're at a point where everybody have to execute on their behalf. Because if you can't execute, not to, like, sound like, you know, like an asshole, but it's like, why are you here? You know what I mean? Like Carnell said, like, you're not just managing my career, you're managing my lifestyle, my lifetime, really. You know what I mean? Like, because also, though this is our talent and we enjoy doing it, this is our livelihood. This is how we eat. This is how we survive. You know what I mean? And so everyone have to come in and genuinely play their part. But you have to execute every single time. There's no hit or miss. You gotta hit every time. Like, we gotta be like, we the Avengers at this point. Like, you know what I mean? Like, everybody coming in strong and there's no other way. I think what's smart right now, and this is what I've been working on, is building a team that is limited in people, but the people are excellent at being diverse. Like you don't have to get someone, like you don't need a manager, an assistant, you know what I mean? Like all these different avenues of people when you can get three people to do a 10-person job. You know what I mean? Or because now you start to realize like a lot of these jobs that have labels literally bleed into the next one. You know what I mean? Like AR can do PR. You know what I mean? Manager can assist. You know what I mean? Distribution can, you know what I mean? Like you don't need, like, I feel like back in the day, that's how it was. You signed to these label and they was giving you these 20-person team, like people and on your team playing a different part and everybody getting paid and, you know, plus your management. So like it just be a lot. I think now it's about limiting your circle, but making sure the circle is strong, making sure that they can really do, like Prince said, do what they said they can do.
Absolutely, absolutely. Fellas, I'm definitely talking a lot of different things in regards to just management. I know that's a serious conversation, and I wanted to get, you know, make sure Lili was on here to kind of get back in tech. I think we got Lili back on the line. Let's see if we can get her on here. Lili.
Yes. Oh, my gosh.
Hold on, Lili. We finally got you back. We finally got you back.
Oh my
God. By the way, the fans is talking all throughout the things, right? They say right now I'm watching from Las Vegas. All right. David is saying y'all dropping some gems. Sticks is saying, man, inspirationally, I know what y'all talking about. All right. Miss Jasmine Jones saying, looking forward to hearing this conversation. Oh, man, that's your fan saying, raise on the line. All right, we definitely got a lot going on. But I'm happy, Lili, you back on here. All right. Now, Lili, they were talking about management and just kind of going through just their, you know, different experiences and what they expect out of management, right? They want it to be a partnership, and you know, they kind of just catching you up, just kind of want it to be a situation that they know what's going on at all times. Does that sound about right?
For sure. Absolutely. You know, what never ceases to amaze me whenever I talk to people who want to be in the business or whatever, or people who just, you know, just want to have like an open dialogue about what it is that I do. And people, especially fans, don't understand. Like they see the glitz and the glamour of it all, but they don't understand that we hire people, we are the last ones to get paid. And if it's $5 left over, we have to split $5. So sometimes your management can make more money than you.
When that happens,
I have a problem with that. I have a huge problem with that.
So let me ask you all this. What is the benefit of being in a group? Why not just go ahead and be solo? What is the benefit of being able to share your money 5, 4 ways, 3 ways, whatever the case may be? I used to have a manager that's managing 3 different talents, right? And then on top of that, how do you decide as a group what management is the one that works for all of y'all that have to be collectively under one umbrella, which is a unit? So let's talk with, go ahead, go Ray. Ray, I hear you go chime in.
The benefit of a group is it's cute.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, I don't even know what else to say. Like, it's cute. Diversity, I guess. Like, you get to pick and choose, you know? Like, no, but I being solo has been much more stress-free and much a better experience for me. But I just think groups are, it's fun. You know what I mean? How frequently do you come across a group of handsome men or beautiful women in a collective harmonizing and dancing staccato, you know what I mean? Like on beat together.
I hear you.
You know, there's a unison thing happening. Like it's rare. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So I think being in a group is impactful. And I think, you know, as you see, like it seems to me that most of the time a lot of the groups become way bigger than like soloists, you know, solo artists. At a certain period, they always make them like go for a certain amount of time, but at that time, like, you can say, like, okay, One Direction, they came up out of nowhere and, like, was the bigger than everybody, you know? Like, you know, even New Kids on the Block was doing, selling out more records than Michael at a certain time when they came out, you know? So mm-hmm. It's just, like, people like the group, but then, you know, there's something, some type of weird thing that always happens within groups. You know, it's either monies or someone thinks it's better than the other person, or this person's talking to that person's ear. They get a girl, this girl's whispering, and they just go boom. Every single time. And it's like, come on, y'all. Like, think better than that. But it's just, for some reason, you know, it's that sometimes it's an ego, testosterone get in there, you know, it just be swaying things, you know, kind of like making it go off left field. But, you know, it's just, I think we all, people that were in the group, we all learned something from it, you know, and we all have some type of gratitude in it that, like, yo, we did that, you know, because with my bros, it was just like, you know, they're my family, so I'm gonna see them regardless anyway. So it's almost like I'm like, it's almost as if I'm not ever out of a group because we're all, you know, we're all family. I see them, you know, so it's just like, but it's good to, like, learn things on your own, you know, it's good to be that self-independent person because you build more confidence and character in yourself. So that's what
I'm saying. No, hold on. I've heard you say before that you would actually take the Jackson 5. You would actually take the Jackson 5 story before you would actually deal with the B5 story.
Oh, no. I was talking about, because now I'll say the Jackson 5 story. The thing is, uh-huh. that it's very similar. That's the reason why people in the industry will always say, y'all remember this is Jackson 5, Jackson 5, Jackson 5. And, you know, there's so many times he's supposed to meet Michael, and Michael would fly somewhere else because, you know, just his schedule or something like that. But it's just like, you know, I would say that because of they are able to have the smart parents, regardless of however their parents, you know, whatever, you know, they said they had in their childhood. The parents made sure they were already business savvy, you know. And the thing is that when you have business savvy parents, it's not, you can't really get over on your kids, you know. So, and especially as a family, as a unit, you it's easier to, you know, move versus like having dealing with this parent, that parent, and be like, okay, y'all come together now. This parent is this way, one parent is that way. And, you know, when it comes to like bros, it's like, okay, it's easy, you know, you're just dealing with two parents or even Joe, and Joe won't let nobody, you know, rip them off. So it's just like, you know, Joe, like, it's just certain things that work out. And I would just say that just because of the respect money purposes, yeah. I would say, when it came into like the business part.
Now, Carnell, you're also a part of a group of family members. How does that get tricky? Now, like, you know, like Prince, you actually put your group together. You ain't know these people from before, right? So now it's different than Carnell because he's dealing with family members. You understand? Versus also Ray just disappeared. But Ray, even with Ray was kind of put into the group as well. Talk to us about just the difference, you know, with you putting the group together and dealing with that with money versus family. Carnell.
On our behalf, I say, like, I wish it, and this is me being honest, I wish it could have been like, because my big vision with it was more like how the Migos was. Because in our group, people didn't know we had a singer. Mm-hmm. We had a singer in the group, and we was all rappers. So really, if we could have got past Stanky Leg and Booty Doo and went into the album, they could have heard the Pretty Ricky type of music we had, because we had that type of music on lock. You feel me? Like, we had that music on locks. So we didn't get a chance to break that out yet. So my main thing, like, we was all put to the point that we knew our roles. He was the singer. This guy was the pretty boy. This guy's the hood guy. This guy's the balance guy. We all had our roles. So to the point that we was smart enough and what can I say? More like comfortable with ourselves and not hate on one another. Like, oh, okay, well, everybody likes him. Or everybody knew that we had our own specific fans. People was gonna like us, people was gonna like them. So if we was gonna get to a chance to graduate, that we could all drop solo albums, and I think that we could have been like the Migos. You think, like, even if B5 could have been able to drop their solo albums and still do their thing, or Mindless Behavior and drop their solo albums, or even NWB, it make them so longevity. Because think, if you look at Migos, Migos been out how long? And you haven't heard them talking about breaking up. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, they still, like this, they able to drop projects together. And you think about it, it's pretty much like how Future and Lil Uzi just did an album. You feel me? They just did a joint album, hot album, made a whole lot of money, and then they're going to go back and do the same thing. So
absolutely.
We could have did the same thing, I feel like, with all these groups. Just people be thinking like, well, we're
going to stick together. Let me ask you this. You start off with 5 members in GSB. And I think now y'all down to, is it 2 members?
5, and then we went down to 2, and then we went down to 1.
So now, what happened with that situation if you were in the lab?
Like, why the group broke up?
Absolutely. Let's talk. Let's get into the conversation. Right. Right.
Me, it's my fault. I'm going to take the blame. I'm going to tell you why I take the blame.
Wait. Please say that one more time.
It was my fault.
Why did the group break up?
I take the blame.
That's amazing. I commend you for that. Because that's something no one ever wants to take that blame.
No one ever wants
to be responsible for that. So tell us that story.
I'm going to be 100 with you.
Why you messed the group up, Prince? Why you messed the group up?
So look, we gonna talk business right quick, because that's the most important thing we're talking about, right? With business. We got to make sure our business is right. So these are our example numbers, not real numbers. So I'm going to throw it to you straight. Let's say Spanky Leg was $250,000 for our first deal, single deal.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say Booty Doo is... $150,000 for another single deal, and let's say we're going into another single deal and they want to throw us $10,000. I'm like, something's wrong. How in the world are we down to $10,000? And all the other members is like, we need to sign. I'm like, hell no, we missing some money,
right?
So people ain't thinking like what I'm on.
Mm-hmm.
They're thinking something totally different. So I didn't sign that last contract because that money ain't right. So it was up to the label to sit there and say, hey, we're going to up that number back to y'all, or the group's done. They didn't up the number. I didn't sign. Group was done. Just like that. Third single never came out. That's wow. When I went solo. And me and Southside made White Boy Billy.
I remember that song.
You know, like, got right back.
So Prince, let me tell you something before I forget. With the Stanky Leg, right? You know who can do a mean Stanky Leg?
Who?
You know the group Jodeci, right?
Right.
KC from Jodeci can do a mean Stanky Leg.
Yeah.
You have got. Hopefully, I can get him to do a video. I have a video of him doing it somewhere.
We can do a mean stank leg.
So we can all make a little money.
I'm learning tonight.
So we can all make a little money.
You try to get on that tonight.
I'm gonna stank this leg up, boo. You hear me?
For real.
But you know, it's amazing how everybody's journey is so similar, but yet so different. I want to ask you all this question. What would you be doing had you not been in the industry?
Running track.
Really?
Yeah. So, quick story. Like, before music came in, like, I had a scholarship to go run track, like my last year. And I looked at my mom's and I was like, I want to be a rapper. She was like, what? You better go run track. I'm talking about you want to be a rapper.
I know, that's right.
I ain't trying to run no track. I'm trying to be a rapper, mom. And that's what I went ahead and did. And I think, I graduated around 07, and we made Stanky Leg 08. It took me 1 year, and I got it done.
Your mama happy now, ain't she?
What? I got the plaque right next to her bedroom door downstairs at the house. I don't play no games. I put it right there so she could look at it.
I can't wait to experience that. My son is now a rapper. And y'all have to go support my son. He has a new single out right now. But, oh, my God, I can't wait for the day he buy me a house.
Word.
Just buy me something. I'm in one. Just buy. I want him to buy me a bike. Just buy me something.
Let's talk about your song real quick. You guys are on Growing Up Hip Hop coming out next month on WeTV.
Oh, yeah. You know, I have to kind of do something to push them out there. Growing Up Hip Hop, I have a relationship with WeTV, so they called and I thought it made sense, you know, because it's such a big, huge machine, television. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, why not? You know, he's taking this thing serious now, but he does extremely well. His name is Kai Shine, K-H-I. So he on his little New York trap music thing. But I'm proud of him because, like I said on the show, you guys will see in January, sometimes music is that thing, not just music, entertainment, period, is that thing that will change your life for real. Because young people go through so much. We see so much. You know, you have some young kids who are extremely talented. Their parents are on drugs. They're going through their own problems, just trying to fix their life the best way they can. And music and entertainment is that thing that will save them. For some kids, it's the books, you know? So that's why this whole thing is so necessary for the young people to hear from you guys, because it comes out a different way when it comes from you. See, when it comes from me, my son still don't listen to me. He's like, oh, you lame, you don't know what's going on. I'm like, I know business. You young kids, y'all don't listen to us. Y'all don't listen at all. But it's okay.
Prince, you listen?
Hey, that's the most important thing right there. Like, I feel like that's what makes you forever, is listening.
Yeah, literally, you gotta listen.
That's the most important thing. You know, our parents used to say hard what? Hard something.
Hard head is a sleeve of soft mind.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
That definitely
for sure.
That's a complete fact. Yes. Okay. I'm not sure what happened to Ray for mindless behavior. We gotta get Ray back on the line. We live in a technology world where this is not the way that we communicate. Prince, there's a crunch that's going on. I think it's still connected to yours. That's why sometimes I'm not sure if you could over there. Do you know what that is?
Okay. What you say?
There's a crunch that's going on, and it's definitely connected to your mic.
Man, I don't know what's going on, bro.
Yeah, it's okay. It's all good. We've been able to make it work. Let's just see what the fans got to say real quick. Boom. From a mental aspect, what were some of the obstacles you faced when leaving the group and transitioning into a solo career? Jasmine Jones, you want to know? All right. So let's kind of jump into that. Carnell, let's start with you, bro.
I wouldn't say like me just up and like leaving. I'm just saying that like for me, it's more so like I'm just doing my own thing. I wouldn't say I'll leave my bros because, you know, they're my bros at the end of the day. But it's more so just like, you know, just figuring out this stuff on my own, which was really nerve-wracking at first. I just put out an EP called Amethyst. Y'all go check it out. It's on Spotify, all platforms. But for me, it was kind of nerve-wracking because, you know, just doing it and being independent and just doing it on your own, it was just like, okay, this is the first time where people get to actually hear me, like my creativity, my writing, my ability and all that. So it was more so exhilarating, I would say, exciting, but also just like, you know, being your own, like, you know, promoter, your own manager, your own this, you know, that. It was a lot, but, you know, it all comes from, you know, just experience. So I would think his EP is good. Appreciate it. It's that fire.
Carnell, come on, bro.
Yes.
Carnell, that fire, bro. That EP is straight fire, bro.
Yeah, I mean, I created all the records, you know. I wrote all the records and I'm highly, like, really proud of it. I did it, like, before, like, well, during quarantine and just, like, you know, I was, like, I got to put it out December. I had to put it out in 2020 just because of like I didn't want to wait on it. I wanted to get it out there and just, you know, start on some more music. But also I wasn't sure what was going to be happening, you know, in 2021, because there's just so much stuff going on within, you know, our society right now. So I was like, you know, I just got to just put it out and just keep grinding, man. So, but yeah, it's out now. Check it out.
Plug. Carnell, you said something very profound a few minutes ago. You said, you know, your new EP was your opportunity to show your creativity. Being in a group, do you feel like you wasn't given that opportunity?
Oh, hell yeah. For sure. That 100%. But the thing at the time, like, you know, it's like my family is such a big family. And like me being a Sag at the time, like I was leaning more so into my introvert, you know. Yeah. Introvert like type of way of being at that time, because at that time we had to get like media training and everything else, so it was more so like I was kind of like, so we had to get media training, because I'm such an open, like, blunt person, and I was really like at that time to where like I had to like get like tutored basically on how to say things at that time, you know. In that time, everyone was getting media training. Like, you know, I don't care who it was.
Yeah, it, you know, didn't so work like, for us.
EP name is Amethyst. It's the birthstone.
Oh, they got you covered, bro. They got you covered.
Amethyst. Yeah. But anyways, besides that, like, you know, it was just like I felt like it was kind of like overwhelming, you know, having, you know, just all my bros, their personality was a lot, you know, and me being like, you know, just like, whoa, this is a lot of just energy. So I had to just like break from that, you know, and I dealt with a lot of different things. I don't want to just go into no sob story, but like I've been through so much, like, you know, just humility in my life, just overall, because I'm originally from Bridgeport, Connecticut, and anyone knows about Bridgeport, Connecticut, that's straight hood. And, you know, like that's a straight hood, and just dealing with all of that, and then just going through different like trials in my life, and, you know, losing, not having my parents and all that stuff. It's just a lot on a person, on like my mental at that time. So even when it came to the music industry, like it was just like a whirlwind for me. My mind was just like really just, I guess, boggled at that time. So I was just like, more so, I didn't know what I should say, how I should say it, because when I noticed that, like, there was one time where I said something like, you know, this lady was basically saying, it was like an all-girls school. This lady was like, yo, these girls got so many, like, issues, you know, broken families, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, some of the girls are pregnant and they're young and they're teens. So we try to keep them good from, you know, help them out with all their, you know, issues and problems. And I'm like, oh, wow. Like, and I really felt that at that time, just because of the fact that, you know, like, I come from, like, all that. I'm literally the, I'm beating the statistic of what basically what we're putting. Literally, I've, anything you can probably think of, I've been through. So it's just like, it was just, I said one thing or whatever. I'm not trying to get off the subject, but I said like one thing and I said it out. It kind of was too blunt, me as a blunt person, and it came out wrong. And so everyone was like, oh. Ain't nothing wrong with us. Ain't nothing going on. And I was just like, oh my gosh. And then immediately after that, we got media training. I was just like, oh man. Let me just not say nothing, because I don't want to, you know, step on anyone's toes. So I became that person of people like, oh, he's shy. He don't really, you know, say much, blah, blah, blah. I was like, no, I don't want to say the wrong thing. So I'm
so you just kind of, you went to your shell. Yeah, and I'm now like, you're like, you exactly. feel free.
Exactly. I feel great.
You can be expressive, and it's okay, because my dad used to tell us one thing, being only girls, everything is not always going to make you feel good. So, you know, as long as we can show a little bit of compassion for people in that situation, you should be able, you're an individual, you should be able to express yourself any way you can.
Exactly.
So Prince, you have achieved a whole new level of success with this online TikTok and body rocking,
new soldier boy.
Tell us about that. You know, me coming from that whole 90s era, all of this stuff is overwhelming to me. The social media thing with Instagram and TikTok, my granddaughter got me TikToking, my daughter got me TikToking. And it seemed like it's a lot of people my age, like a lot of adults are more into TikTok than a lot of the kids, or just as much as the kids. So how did you find that space for you to just explode? Because you're on fire on TikTok right now. How did that happen for you?
Oh, he's on. Oh, man. Jersey got him on mute. There you go.
Y'all hear me?
Yeah, did you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you. So,
okay.
I think with any and every artist, right, once you finally come out and you get that first break, it's like, how do you keep a match of what you did, you know, to stay up with that type of record?
Right.
So, you see, like, the more the game goes on and evolves, there's new things that come out that puts us in a position that once we already did this, we like, we don't know if we want to do this and do that and mm-hmm. do this and do that. Because at first I was like, okay, we got MySpace. Then now mm-hmm. you got Facebook. Then now everybody on YouTube. Then now you got Instagram. Then you got Vine. Then you got Snapchat. Then you got this. Then you got that. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know if I want to be on all these apps. But when you think, when with these kids, they able to be on all the maps.
Exactly.
They able to jump
yeah.
on everything.
Yeah.
And you got some people that's, when a new app come out, they're in love with that new app. So TikTok is one of them new apps that people is in love with. And I went ahead and just was like, you know what? Let me jump back in and see if I could get enough success as everybody else that's on this app. And once I jumped in, like, I think within the last, 4 months, I'm up to almost like 60,000 followers on Instagram. I got more followers on Instagram. I mean, on TikTok than I got on any of my other social media. So it's like the app is so lit that I'm just going, you know, I'm going to follow the wave. And since I've been following the wave with everybody else, but being myself, I'm not copying nobody.
Right.
I'm being myself on the app. And with me being myself, they're falling in love with the music and me that I'm able to do what we're able to do right now.
So do you guys find that it's so, of course, obviously, it's the industry is so different now than it was back then. Do you find that it's much easier now to kind of get yourself out there and, you know, cut off the middleman?
Yeah.
Is it fun?
Yeah.
Definitely.
I say it's way easier just because, you know, back then you had to pay to print up CDs and you got to go to these hot spots to pass out your CDs and all that type of stuff. Now we're able to, you know, upload straight to iTunes. And you can be in Africa and you can download music.
That is so true. That is so true. So it has more of a stretch now that it's online. So one of your fans said, talk about the new songs you have out now so they can find it on TikTok.
Yeah, man. So Round Rock is going viral. It's going crazy, featuring Unique Music. Man, we made that song. That was my second song I put on TikTok. The first one was called Wild Out. It was doing pretty good. And then I seen other people drop songs and it was bypassing my song. So when I say bypassing, let's say my song maybe did like 30,000 videos, different people in the world doing videos to my song. And I seen somebody else drop a song and it maybe did 60,000 in a week versus my song doing 30. So I'm like, okay, something's going on here. I got to figure it out.
Wow.
So I went ahead and dropped Round Rock, and Round Rock just took straight off. So I was like, okay, we on the right track now. I see what's going on. So I'm going to have a new one coming out soon, but the one right now that's going crazy is Round Rock featuring Unique Music. The Shade Room just posted the other day on Shade Room. They posted a couple people dancing to it. BET posted it. So it's just going viral on this song. I feel like that's what the internet's all about. As long as you able to have the right song,
right,
spread. So that's what's going on right now.
Mm-hmm.
So Carnell, tell everybody the name of your EP and how would they go and find your EP? Because as a matter of fact, are you on TikTok, Carnell?
Yeah, I'm on TikTok, but I ain't gonna lie to you. Like, for me,
is your TikTok dry like mine?
My TikTok dry as hell because I don't
so
be posting that.
I'm so quiet on TikTok. I have like 10 followers.
No, my TikTok is dry just because of like, man, like I grew up in that in between era, like to where like I'm trying to like I already know all the, I know what to do, but it's just like, do I want to do that? You know, like do the like, yeah, like. I want to do it, but it's just like, come on.
That's hey man, I'm gonna tell you this much. Once you jump out of that thing and do exactly what you know, You're gonna be right where you wanna be. I'm gonna tell you, it took me a minute to do what you was just thinking.
Yeah, because I'd be like, man, do I really want to do that? But I'm just like, you know, I did like one video and it was cool, but I'm just like, I have to do it. You know, I just got to do it, you know, and just start.
Carnell, you got to do it, bro. Y'all are from the crossover era that was definitely connected.
Yeah, like that was like that merge.
You understand? So, you know, MySpace merging in with Instagram and Twitter. But now it's like TikTok is kind of like outside of our orbit.
Musically, it was our first. I think it was Musically first because TikTok's been out, but they changed the name and then like China bought it and all that stuff. Now America has it. But the thing is that like it was just like that era of like where you still like, if you notice, like even the artists in that era, like the Rihanna and the Chris Browns and you know all those people, Trey Songz, people in our era, we're still not like, we still don't really do that. You know, we just. They still had those people that like just post their photos for them, you know? And I got so grounded in that type of way of thinking and just like keeping like the mystique thing. And it's not really cool to just be mystique because, you know, people really want to see what you're doing, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's just like, I have to just break that, you know, stigma that I have, like that I just, you know, out of my mind so I can just, you know, just be myself. Because sometimes I'm still like overly worried about who I am as a person, you know? Mm-hmm. When it comes to like posting what I'm posting, because you know, if I'm like faded or something, I'm gonna post whatever. That's how I used to be, but like, you know, and I noticed that like being more of yourself, you know, it being more yourself and just showing yourself, it works out, you know.
But hold on, but not posting yourself faded though. Hold on, Lily, I see you laughing at that comment down there.
That is so something my son would say. Oh, you know, when I'm high, I can do this.
Yeah, man, you just feel like, man, is whatever. All right
when you're high, you know. So put a disclaimer: no drugs. I don't drink or smoke, so I'm not promoting that.
I'm not promoting that, but you know, it does cure 32 different cancers. And it does help out your bones.
There he goes.
It does keep your mind young and your brain healthy.
Oh, Lily, he's staying facts at you.
You're doing a good job, boo.
CBD, you can get CBD and make sure your body's good.
Oh, my God. You know, somebody sent me a nice little gift box of CBD, some kind of shea butter. I mean, it was laid out.
Yeah.
My son found 8 little cigarettes and he stole the cigarettes from me. What do they call it? Is it safe to say that's weed? Medicinal. What is it? A medicinal cigarette? What is it called?
Yeah, it's I had one before. It's just CBD. And then they have like, you know, it looks like a cigarette.
Well, yeah, my son stole mine, all 8 of them.
Oh.
So, you know, I can't keep anything that smells like CBD around my house, okay? At all.
Yeah, Jersey, what happened to Ray?
I'm not sure what's going on with Ray. We're trying to get him back on the live, man. To see, but the fans are talking right now. Just say no to drugs.
Just say no.
Say no to drugs. They're talking about this day, and we go rock, 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 rock. Hey, friends, they talking about that round rock, bro. Rocky said, yo, play that round rock real quick and jazz in the rap. The fans are definitely here. All right, they're like, yes, that cleanup is lit. All right, that cleanup.
So the fire means lit?
The fire means lit.
You thought it meant fire, like, ooh, that's
I mean, fire. You can do it either or, no, man.
I'm tired of not knowing stuff, Jersey.
It's okay. We about to learn today. So we all learn the fire needs lit, okay?
Yeah.
Yo, Prince, you actually played on your track real quick. You're taking over TikTok by storm. Do you mind playing the track real quick?
Go ahead, dude.
Now too. Can we vibe out? I know you got that. The round rock is clean up. What we feeling like?
Man, hey, man. Whatever you feel like playing, play, baby. I'm here. You know what I'm saying? I'm here.
Yeah, but you got to do the dance so we can learn the dance.
Ah, la, 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 la.
Jersey, you have to do the dance. You know the dance.
You know how to
do the dance. It's a different song. Chris know the dance. Chris know the dance. Oh boy, Prince. All right, we about to get that. We about to get that. Hold on, wait. All right, come on. Uh-huh. Hey. Well, I better stop playing with Lily out here. Yo, we better stop playing. Lily, yo, you about to go over.
That is so dope. Who did that track again? Who did that track, Prince?
Quasar.
What's his name?
Quasar.
Quasar?
Quasar.
Okay, Quasar, then, we might need to have a conversation about Kashan, okay?
Yes.
Yeah. We need one of those Prince TikTok bangers.
we can set it up.
You don't mind, right, Prince? Prince, you don't mind, right?
We need one of them.
That's right. That's right.
Hold on 1 second. They say cut the check. Hey.
Hashtag cut the check.
Hey, Trinity's talking it all here. They know the drugs. All right, the Trinity's talking it all here. Yo, boss, that was fire, man. Now, talk to us. That was wild, bro. Now, talk to us about what you got with that cleanup. There was nothing that cleanup on here. How did you kind of come up with cleanup? Prince.
Say it again.
How did you come up with cleanup?
Cleanup. So, no lie. Me and Unique Music was in the computer. We was listening to the beat. And I was just like, man, what we going to say to it? And I was like, just, you know, one of the moments. Same thing like I do with all my songs. I was just sitting there and I was just like, oh, you like the way I clean up, fresh up out the cleaner. And I was like, she's like, keep going, that's it. And I was like, okay, so bet, we're gonna name the song Cleanup. And then I was like, oh, you make a mess. Why you got to make a mess, babe? And then I just took all the words, put it together, and I left her kill the verse, and that was it. Name the song.
Okay, gotcha. Yo, we're gonna play that Cleanup one time real quick. Let me go. Let's play that Cleanup real quick one time, bro.
Oh, she like the way I put me up.
That song is a bop, man. That song is a bop too. Now hold up. Now kind of, bro. You know, you dropped the EP, and we gotta play some tracks off the EP, bro. What's on the people there right now, man?
What'd you say?
What you want the people to hear right now?
Shit, man, play whatever, which one, man. You can play the one you like, or you can play the water gun, no matter. For you, bro.
Yo, Carnell definitely got that fire right now. So we gonna jump into that on my mind, because you know that was a bop. Lily, this Carnell right here, this that on my mind. All right, Lily, listen. Okay. You hear that?
She gon' mess up and grab it. I'm gon' go back. You don't want to show me love. Yeah, let me. She walks through my door. I'm ready to the floor. We gon' be a killer tonight.
Yeah. Oh, my hit different.
I know. I'll talk about that too.
Yo, that song is straight fire, yo. Come on, stop.
You know something? It's kind of giving me that African vibe, like that.
Oh yes, that's right. That's like my favorite. That's like my favorite type of feeling.
Oh,
you know,
my gosh, like it, man.
Like when I hear that island sound, it like makes me. It just it gives me it brings something. I feel like it's like literally like some of the best music that you can possibly listen to. Oh. It's like that sound. It's a whole
it's amazing. And like, it's amazing. Like,
it's nostalgic for me. Like hearing that, it like reminds me just.
So let me ask you guys this question before, because I think it's time for us to kind of wrap it up a little bit. Tell me, in Jersey.
Yes.
A fun tour story. Tour story. Like, you ever been into a situation where a girl, like maybe a groupie kind of pulled your coat off or was in your room when you got there, or some crazy outrageous tour story?
I got plenty.
Hold on, start with Prince. Come on, start with Prince.
Prince, go, you go first, bro.
I say one of my favorites is like when we went to Africa. Like, we did a show on Africa. As soon as we landed, it was like, man, just pretty much how you see a movie. Just mad people just standing there screaming. They had to like rush us to the it wasn't even a limo. They had like two Hummers and some Bentleys outside. Someone was being dumped in there. The kids was knocking on the, I'm talking about banging on the windows.
Dang.
And running down the street. And it was like that for a couple blocks. Like, and then the crazy thing about it, like, we didn't know what nobody was saying. So we didn't know what was going on. And it was pretty much like when we got to the hotel, same thing. Like at the hotel, they was going crazy. It was just one of the moments that you just like, wow, you don't know what's about to go on. You don't know what's about to do. They love you or they want to rob you. You don't know.
Like, yeah, yeah.
They just wilding out to the point that you ain't used to that. Right. Then when we went to did the actual show, we performed Stanky Leg. They were like, they stood there. No lie, just looked at us until Stanky Leg came on. Stanky Leg came on. We ran Stanky Leg back like 20 times. On that song.
Wow.
20 times from beginning to the end. Back to back.
That's crazy.
Wow.
It wasn't worried about lower the song, but Stanky Leg.
Stanky Leg.
Wow. What about you, Cornell?
I have a lot of tour. Like crazy, just crazy moments.
Okay, let me help you out, Cornell. Okay.
There was,
have you ever kissed a groupie? Like a supporter, but gave her like your best tongue.
No, I was taught that at an early age. At an early age from like industry people, like people that were around us. Never kissed no girl in the mouth you don't know. Never kiss no in the mouth.
Yes.
Like, you don't do that. Like
they don't always listen though.
Yes.
Nah, I ain't never do that. But
That's good.
I got the crazy tour experiences. I would say like Scream Tour was like one of the craziest.
Ooh.
About Marion and Pretty Ricky. It was Bobby V. It was all of us just killing it. And Pretty Ricky had towed literally the whole stadium where our hotel was at. And there was like at least over like 2,000 girls in the hotel. In the hotel walking around just looking for anybody to what to do, you know?
Just what?
That was going on. I wasn't involved in all that, but I definitely saw what I saw.
Well, wait, you said 2,000 girls waiting for y'all out there, bro?
Yeah,
just waiting for anything.
Hotel, we didn't have to know where we were staying at. And so all the girls from like girls from the tour just came out. And imagine like 20,000 plus people in the arena. So when you tell them where your hotel is at, they all gonna be there. At least 5,000 of them.
Yeah.
So it was like literally that many girls just all around just picking and choosing. And
now, let me ask you this: were y'all old?
It was crazy. I can't tell you all the explicit stuff that was going on because I feel like it's too crazy. But it was crazy. It was definitely crazy. I've seen a lot.
We can't know that side, huh?
No, I wasn't a part of it then. I was too young. But like, I was literally around. I definitely saw it all. I definitely was.
What did you see? Your fans want to know.
I mean, I don't want to like expose people. You know,
no, you don't have to name drop. What did you see?
I mean, I've seen like, I'm just saying there was pussy everywhere. There was. I mean, I'm not trying to talk like this right now. I'm just saying there was everywhere. You know, there was things everywhere, and it was just like girls were just going into the rooms and then. Wow. Trains and all that stuff was going on. It was just a whole bunch. It was just that's why I didn't want to talk about it. That's why I didn't want to talk
and
about
I,
it.
I believe him because I can't even tell all the stuff I've seen on tour.
Yeah, I mean people was wilding out. I was like,
you guys are a mess. That's all I'm gonna say.
No, I never got the
ladies though, really. Y'all not a mess.
No, we're not a mess.
Yeah, on God though.
Our mess is very quiet.
No, on God though, I wasn't a part of any of that. Like I was just literally was exposed to it all. And I would just say, like, all the women out here, it's crazy. The mother and daughters together, I was just like, yo, this is insane. Like,
yo, bro, mother and daughters together?
Yeah, man. There was one time where this girl wanted to see Omarion so bad, her mom and daughter was slurping down to cook everybody just didn't see him.
It's like, serious. Literally. I've seen it as well
and missed the whole show. So I'm just like, something was going on like that, and I was just like, my gosh, this crap is crazy.
You well, know?
So
let me tell you something, Jersey. I will say this: a lot of those guys in those boy bands be leaving with something they didn't come with.
How about the girls and the girl band? Even with something that y'all don't come with?
No, the girl bands be chilling, honey. We be chilling. Nah. Most of the time, I mean, I can speak for SWV. Most of the time, we were in relationships. So every time we went on tour, we had, you know, you saw us with the same guy because we were dating somebody that we was with. So it wasn't really action going on.
Okay. The fans are confused right now.
Yeah, that's why I didn't want to talk about that. But like,
okay, no, it's the truth.
It's crazy. This is the thing is that like that tour life is different. You know, it's all about how you choose to be. You know, but when they were young, you know, just. That shit was just going down. It was just crazy, you know. It was just a lot of it's a lot of that just going on, you know. So, you know, that is what it is, you know. It's life. People gotta live. People gotta, you know, experience their certain things, and then they move on. You know, they grow up from that. Like, wow, man, that crazy life, you know. But I wasn't.
Absolutely. Well, fellas, thank y'all so much, man, for just tuning in and just kind of being a part of this experience. You know, really, you are an excellent person today and just kind of getting to the bottom of everything that we have to do. Thanks up. Hey, Clint, man, thank you so much for kind of going through the story with the best boys, man, and just, you know, kind of getting us through that. That stinky leg is still a bop, bro. The stinky leg is never going to die, man. Never. You know what I'm saying? And Carnell, bro, appreciate you just coming in and
telling
us about your experience. You know what I'm saying? Ray had some technical difficulties. He wasn't able to get back.
No, Ray left us. He went to go see that Mike Tyson fight.
Okay. I've been so trying to watch that fight.
Ray been talking. He been talking about that fight before we started, honey.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying.
No, Ray had a little bit of technical difficulties. But we're going to definitely find out what's going on. But appreciate y'all all coming on to talk about what happened. And it's all about love here, you know, and kind of educating and just kind of getting to the bottom of our stories. You know? So I'm Black Culture Breeder, and that's where it is. Leave me. Anything you want to leave us out with?
Man, I am so happy that you guys name on the show, but one thing, the name of the show is called What Happened in Connell. You never told us what happened to B5.
Oh, well, we came out with music. I would say it's been a year now. We had like two records out. It's called Do That and Wave that I wrote, co-written.
So basically, all the fans want to know is B5 still a thing right now?
B5 right now, due to quarantine,
I know.
There's, you know, separation right now. I wouldn't say, okay, like, I can't really speak on everything because, you know, my bros and everyone's really private, you know, but people are just, you know, on their, like, some people are on their spiritual journey right now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you just can't do nothing but respect that. I got my own music. People are recording their own music and you can hear it from there. And I know people have been talking about the B5 EP. Like I've said before, it's none of our fault. You know, it's just the politics and, you know, just different things when it comes into this industry, you know, that goes unseen. But yeah, all I can say is that the EP is done. I could leak it out if I wanted to, but I can't. I want to, like, you know.
Well, for right now, we'll support you. Because the song, yes, I just heard, it sounds amazing.
Appreciate
and
it.
And I'm just happy to see a lot of you younger artists just doing y'all thing and y'all not really relying on, you know, record labels and y'all really taking control. So that's a beautiful thing. And I'm sure the fans love this tonight. I enjoyed it.
I appreciate it.
Jersey enjoyed it.
Definitely. Come on. The fans are definitely talking about it. They said this was nice. All right. Come on. Carnell, they saying that the boom, that screen tour was crazy for real.
Yes, it was. It was like literally one of the highlights of all tours in that time. And still to this day, people talk about screen tour, you know. So
they tell you to leak it right now, bro.
Man, if I get the go on it from everybody, I will leak that mug.
thank you, Alexandria. She said this live was so good. And that's the whole purpose of, you know, Jersey is a guy of, he's a creative, he's a guy of so many different visions. So it ain't no telling what he's going to do next. But whatever he's doing with, you know, just make sure you guys go out and support him. And of course, follow me on Instagram at The Real Lily SWV. And you guys might want to give your handles as well. Prince, yeah, what's your handle, social media?
My handle is, where's that? Right. Yeah, right here. Just like that.
Old boy Prince.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, his is easy. Mine's, I didn't want to put Fly Samurai, but I'm going to spell it out because some people have a hard time. FlySamuraii. Two I's at the end. That's all it is.
And of course, Jersey's is somewhere out here, but not only we appreciate everybody logging on tonight, you know, it took a lot to make this, to pull this off. If you enjoyed it, I'm seeing a lot of comments where everybody enjoyed it. If you enjoyed it, talk about it. We want to hear from y'all. Talk about it so we can probably do something major with this thing because people need this information. Take it home, Jersey.
Absolutely. Well, thank you guys so much for coming on the show and everything that y'all could do. Ray, we're going to definitely catch up with you soon, too. And then it said, boom, the fans saying, leak it tomorrow on my birthday. All
right. Oh, represent.
This has been a really good interview. Appreciate y'all so much. This is what happened. And we're going to talk soon. All right, y'all. Let's take it home with the commercial for Black Culture Breakdown. Make sure y'all tune in tomorrow night at 10:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Yes,
boy, you should know that I've got you on.